Welcome to episode 198 of the Men Who Save Football at an Hawke FC Fancast. This is a post-match reaction to another disappointing misadventure in the Midlands, although it wasn't the same. Against Longford, we were just kind of abject throughout. In the first half, we played pretty well with the wind at our backs, got a goal, got what looked to me like a second, although you can discuss that. However, in the second half, the conditions were against us, was rather flat. Still and all, though, there is something worrying about Dundalk FC's momentum. Cove certainly have the momentum. They're doing what they're expected to do. They comprehensively bet Bray Wanderers last night, and they will probably be looking at Dundalk limping along ahead of them, seeing that lead being diminished week by week, and thinking, we have a very interesting Friday night. They have to go to Longford, who are in form, and we have to face Finn Harps. It's still in our own hands. We can wrap it up next Friday. Cove will probably be savouring the chance to still be in the mix for the following ultimate game where we have to go down to them. That being said, we have a lead, we still have a two-game cushion, but Cove have the momentum. I'll put it to you guys, which would you rather have at this point in the season, the lead or the momentum?
I'd take a 4-point lead any time of the season, but especially right now. And the only thing is, as you say, like form is not great. Two away games that I think, we couldn't have asked for a better run-in. I think if you told us Longford, UCD, Athlone Town, Finn Harps, right, they are very winnable games. And to have only taken 1 point from a possible six on the road, like that is not good. Now, I can understand that. The team is nervy at the moment, right? You can sort of see that, and we could see that especially in the last home game too. But Athlone are a poor side, and to not dispatch them last night, I think was pretty ropey. At the same time, a point was very valuable, right? It means that we only have to match or beat what Cove do next week, and we are, top of the table, and we'll stay that way. So I think, as you say, it's still in our hands, right? I'm not too worried. Wasn't a good performance, wasn't a good result, but we still should have enough, I think, to beat Finn Harps.
Yeah, I'd absolutely take the 4 point cushion. Same as Martin. I'm not despondent at all. I could say it was a bad result last night. Athlone are a poor side. They are where they are for a reason. I think when we get into the game itself, really the story of the game is Dundalk not taking missing their chances. It was there for us, to be won, and I think we would have been home and dry. But it's not a disaster. That 4 point cushion I think Dundalk have enough that over the next few games. I mean, in one way you could say it's beautifully set up for a home game title win. I mean, I know it's, some people say, well, you definitely don't want to get into Cove. I mean, it could be a spectacle to go down to Cove and beat them and win the league. I absolutely do not want to go down on a minibus to Cove and risk that one. A home game title winning victory would be lovely. None of this is set in stone though, because Dundalk are, seem almost duty bound to make us sweat. But absolutely on that question, I would take the lead. I think, but it's definitely very much. I mean, it is literally in our own hands. I think Friday we should do it. That all said, last night was, I mean, you see, take a point on the road, blah, blah, blah. But at this stage of the season, against that loan, given the nature of the game as well, I think that is a massive missed opportunity. And I suppose the only thing that would, even though I'm very positive about what's going to happen next, the worry is that psychologically this team, has lost it in a way. And I don't mean that to be to, talk them down or anything like that. But I think it's, that's the fear, that they just, that something has just gone mentally in this team. And I still think that there's enough will and enough talent between the manager and the players that they'll do it. But yeah, it was a slip up, but not the end of the world at all.
If you think back to the main events of the game, what stood out for you about the performance, and where do you think we missed those opportunities to really wrap it up?
Well, missed those opportunities basically like sums the entire thing up, especially in the first half, right? I thought we were by far the better team. I think we had, McDade's goal, right? I think we'll maybe start with. one of the things that really characterized the game overall, but you know, especially the first half, was Dundalk's work ethic, trying to win the ball back high up the pitch, right? Really didn't give Athlone a chance to get out in any way, shape or form. Like, Athlone had, I'd say, no possession in the Dundalk half for the first 45 minutes, no chances. Like, we were on top from the first minute to the last in the first half. And I think it was just not putting the ball in the back of the net so much. But the first goal, I think, comes from some really great work trying to, you know, pin Athlone back again in their sort of right back spot. We win the ball back. Great interchange, I think, between Kenny and McDade. McDade gets the ball out of his feet and straight in the bottom corner. You know, that was, I think, exactly the start that we needed. You could, you know, sort of hear the Dundalk support and the fans, you know, how energized everybody was. And you were just hoping from that point that we would kick on and go and, you know, score a couple more. I think Arubi has a great chance, you know, a header from inside the 6-yard box, unopposed, this kind of thing. And I know the conditions were bad, you know, that there was a lot of wind, but not to hit the target from 4 yards out with a free header, you know, that's, I think, pretty disappointing. There was the disallowed goal, which personally I think was rightly disallowed. It does hit Owen Kenny on the hand. Like, it's maybe a bit more ball to hand than the other way around, but, you know, it's certainly a handball. A couple of other chances then, like, there's a couple of McDade shots, and then right on halftime, you know, Kenny has a chance from a breakaway to make it 2-0. Keeper saves it. And, you know, got the feeling that it was going to be much tougher in the second half with the wind against us. But at the same time, you know, I think with a bit of, you know, footballing brain, you could have, you know, charted a way through the second half for us to take advantage of the conditions still, right? When you're playing into a strong wind like that, what you really want to do is turn the Athlone back four around, get them running back towards their own goal. So, like, balls over the top are really going to hold up. You can afford to, you know, sort of knock it long into the channels and stuff like that and have people chase it. And we just absolutely failed to do that, right? We certainly kicked it plenty, but it was, you know, up in the air in front of the Athlone back four. And I think it just invited a whole lot of pressure onto us. There was a couple of moments where, like, again, we should have done better midway through the second half. Owen Kenny gets away down the right and has, you know, a simple ball to square it into the middle for, I think, maybe Arubi, who's there, and absolutely fluffs his lines, right? Really, you know, kind of shocking stuff. And then there's the free kick that we give away. I think for the second week in a row, Vinnie Leonard gives away an extremely cheap free kick in a dangerous position. The wall lines up, I think, you know, given the conditions, I think it was impossible to get that ball up and down over the wall. Like, just with the wind behind it, there was no way to do that. So I think the only effort that made sense was the sort of thunder blaster, you know, sort of towards the corner. A. Dervin positions himself pretty well, right, to cover that side. And then, for reasons I don't know, moves out of the way to try and join the wall just as the ball is struck, right? And it's rifled into the top corner. Like, the whole build-up to this is so frustrating, right? There's nothing about this makes sense. And like I say, just this football intelligence bit where you just need to have, I think, a bit of thought about, like, what are the options and how to, you know, minimize your risks and maximize your chances and stuff like that. We didn't seem to do it. Now, I think following that, we sort of managed the game pretty well. In the last 10 minutes, I think we put together, you know, some good moves, had a bunch of chances. We probably didn't talk about the Dervin shot as well that came back off the post, like, super unlucky not to to score that. But in the final 5 minutes of the game, right in injury time, we have two absolutely gilt-edged chances to win the game. Norman Garbutt header, like, I can't describe how bad that header was, right? To say it, like, again, when you don't hit the target from, you know, 5 yards out, but I think it might have actually got further away from the goal than when it started, right? It was awful. And then Owen Kenny right at the death, you know, I think he almost does everything right, you know, gets under it, beats his man to the header, and nods it like an inch wide of the post. You know, just one of those things. On another night, this game, we score 5 and we cruise this game altogether. And I think the big story here is, you know, despite another, you know, sort of almost unforced defensive lapse, we could have and should have won that game by a mile. And really, the story of this game was not taking those chances.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in some of the Dundalk slip-ups of late, a lot of our conversation has been about the defence. But I think, well, I mean, the first half last night, Athlone didn't offer anything for the defence to do. So a lot of the concentration then goes on the attack. An interesting thing is, I don't want to make excuses, and I think that, you know, the point is probably, given everything that went on, a point is a fair result and you get what you deserve in football. But I think one of the things that is possibly a massive factor would have been the weather. Both sides seemed to, you know, it's funny rewatching the highlights reel. The first half is entirely the camera pointing towards the Athlone goal, like entirely. And then it goes into the second half and things have changed around and the camera faces the exact same direction for 10 minutes. So all the action was going one way and it's with the wind. So I think that has to be factored in, is that the momentum of the game seemed to have been very much directed almost literally by the direction of the wind. Because I think that one end of the pitch saw most of the action for a good 60, 65 minutes. Yeah, I think Martin went through, you know, catalogued all those chances. I think like the Arubi one, you just think, oh man, you have to do better there. Ed Irvine hitting the post, you're just like, on another evening, a millimeter the other side, that goes in. And yeah, those headers towards the end. I mean, there's at least three headers, which I think the no player needs to do better. And I think Martin's correct. On another night, that's 5-1. I mean, the free kick, yeah. I mean, they pulled at least two good saves out of Cherry. But other than that, at the first half, they offered nothing. Dundalk, you know, were absolutely in control and had the lion's share of chances. So, yeah, exactly. In another world, that's a 5-1 or a 5-2 because one or two of those Dundalk chances go in and I think you obviously would see a very different game. But given all those chances, I mean, a 2-1, just a 2-1, one of those headers going in, and it's a completely, completely different story today. We essentially have one hand on the title. So that's what kind of makes it, you know, so frustrating. If it had been like, you know, we were said like the Longford game or something like that, where we absolutely just an abject performance, but it wasn't. Dundalk were in control and just needed to put away some of those chances. And I think it's those headers. You just need to do better with them. You're right in front of the goal. One of those goes in and it is a completely different story this morning. So I definitely think the weather is a factor. But at the same time, that is not to excuse the fact that Dundalk really needed to be better right in front of goal. But it is what it is.
Yeah, I think sometimes you're just looking for this team to look like champions. And we did in the first series and second series of games. And one of the trademark characteristics of a league-winning side is the ability to do what is needed to be done in adversity when you're a man down, when significant players are injured, or when you're in difficult conditions. Now, if we look back to the start of the season, when we went down to 10 men in Kerry very early in the season, I thought, well, here is now a real test. Maybe you take a draw here and be grateful of it. We went on to win that game and win it quite convincingly. And when you see a performance like that, you think, yes, this is championship stuff. This is league winning potential. I think we had a difficult game in Finn Harps round about that time as well. And I think it was Sean Keogh with a clinical free kick allowed us to win that one. And we had such a strong run in the early part of the season that it looked like we might just sweep everybody aside and win every game. When you don't look like champions is when you concede points from a winning position. I haven't done the arithmetic for the full season, but if you think of our games against Treaty, winning positions established right to late in the game, and then suddenly elementary errors creep in and we capitulate and you squandered. I think we've probably given up against Limerick. We've given up 4 points very easily that could have been in the bag. And that sort of performance has become, shall we say, more frequently something that Dundalk fans have witnessed, particularly in our away form. If we look at our away form over the last six games, it's very inconsistent. It's two draws, two defeats, two wins. A lot of people will be comforted by the fact that our home form is much better. 5 wins and 1 draw, undefeated at home. But I think the case last night was, it was another feeling that there was 3 points to be gotten there. And it's the dividing line between champions and almost champions as to whether or not you take those late chances. Now, what was kind of disappointing was, you can look at the handball, and Martin thinks that was a fair call. I think there was a very similar incident in across the water in the English Premier League recently where a ball was deflected up from a defender at such close range. onto the defender's hand that it was deemed to be not a handball because the rule is now so opaque. You're not allowed to handle the ball. We remember Andy Boyle's incident where the ball was essentially rocketed into his arm and Legia Warsaw got a penalty. We all thought that was pretty unfair, but apparently that was the continental norm at the time. But now there's a nuance whereby if the ball is deflected and you really can't get out of the way in time, it can strike your arm and not be deemed a penalty. Again, that rule is kind of such a mess. Who knows? But I thought what the ball does appear to kind of come off the keeper onto Kenny's arm, perhaps. So the call really probably could have went either way. I think if we establish a 2-goal lead, we probably go on to do it. What's frustrating is, as Martin said, at loan, look at their league position, look at how long it's been since they won a game, look at their form. This is far and away the weakest team in the country, and that's not to be disrespectful, but they're the butt of the first division for a reason. Yes, in the second half, they came out with all the momentum and they looked much better than we should have allowed them look for probably about half an hour. Dundalk lose a grip of the game for nearly 30 minutes of the second half before re-establishing it. And when we get a grip on the second half, we again look far the better team. But it's so frustrating. Like I say, this is the difference between like being champions and handling adversity. When you're getting basically free headers in the 6-yard box with a gaping goal in injury time and it goes wide, it's hard to know how those moments can be coached. I mean, it seems to be a matter of determination, will, focus. And I think that's what maybe will worry Dundalk fans as we kind of go into this. It seems that we are, let's face it, against UCD, we got the benefit of two penalties and we just about made it across the line. You cannot expect that level of charity week in, week out. And it seemed that the game was in our own hands and we just couldn't take it. And now we've made the last 2 weeks way more interesting than they should have been. And again, in Longford, it's hard to find a real rationale for that performance and result when we know that a win there probably more or less deflates Cove and kind of puts you really in a position that they won't be able to overhaul you. That issue of momentum, the issue of looking a little bit like you don't have the focus and you don't have the killer instinct of the early part of the season. I mean, do you think that can be turned around on Friday? And how do you do it? Because if we look at our form against Finn Harps, we've been a little bit inconsistent. We've had a win, we've had a draw, we've had a defeat. Now, happily, and here's where there might be some good news, Finn Harps are in a very poor run of form. They've lost their last 3 games. In their last 4 games, they've conceded 13 goals. And I think a lot of the commentary from fans online is that we take the point from this weekend, we move on, it's all in our hands on Friday. And I think most fans, they may be either expecting a win or they're certainly hoping for a win on Friday. But does the kind of fragility that Dundalk is exhibiting in recent games, does that worry you a little bit? And how would you turn it around if you were Kieran Kilduff?
Well, we're so close to the end, and I know this is not what you want to hear as a podcast host, but in some ways we're out of things to discuss with this team, and it's just you hope they show up and win a football game. That's all they need to do. If I was Kieran Kilduff, I would sit them down this week and just say, all you need to do is win this one game, just play better football than them. And I think an interesting conversation you were having earlier on about looking like champions. I think Dundalk are the best team in the division, and I think it is a matter of recently of momentum. Cove have momentum, we have lost momentum, but definitely, as you said, in those first two thirds of the season, we are absolutely, I think, well worth our position at the top of the table, and I think we will be. At this stage, I wouldn't really know what Kilduff needs to do because we've shown we have the talent. We've shown we can turn over any team. This wobble has come at a really unfortunate time, but we've 2 games to do it. I think a loss, even though, like, if a loss still would have had us, you know, technically in the driver's seat, that would have been, I think, so mentally shattering. I mean, I think the Dundalk team going in next Friday night with just a 3-point cushion and thinking about what Cove might do, possibly would be, you know, way more damaging to their psychology. What I, if I was Kieran Gilduff, I would just say to them, you know, that they still have the edge, they still have this buffer, and all they need to do is win one game. And, you know, it'll be at home, hopefully a big crowd. I mean, crowds have been dipping. Sometimes you might want to be a little bit snide about people who are fair weather fans or glory hunters. I don't care. Every glory hunter in the town can come out on Friday, please. You know, if you just want to bask, if you don't want to attend all season long First Division football, but want to bask in a title-winning party, please come along on Friday, because I think the team could really do it. A really raucous crowd, and just that belief that, because I think nobody wants to go down to Cove and have to do a job. That would be maybe Kieran Kilduff's biggest motivator to them. Just get it done now at home. You can party that night, and who cares what happens down in Cove? So yeah, I would just appeal to these base instincts, you know. Tactically, I don't know what you do. I just would set them out and just really, because I mean, I think there was, as Martin said, there's a lot of positives as well. Chasing down and trying to win every ball. Again, I think Owen Kenny showing his threat. I just think they need to find it inside themselves at this stage. Get it done. You can party, and essentially the season is over. You really just don't want to go down to Cove. That would be my... I'd write that on a whiteboard.
I mean, it might sound stupid, but some, you know, coaching on finishing might not be a bad idea either, because, you know, how does anybody perform under this kind of stress, right, on a regular basis? Whether you're, you know, a pop star or you're a Marine, right, under fire and stuff like that, like, how do you retain the composure, right, when the stress is on? Training, right, is the simple answer. When your instincts are honed so that, you know, you go from needing conscious thought to do a thing to it just being like an instinctual thing that you do, you know, that's how it works. And so I think what this team needs, right, up front is a little bit of solid, you know, sort of shooting training and stuff like this to try to, you know, just hone those instincts, you know, get those shots on target, get the headers on target and stuff like that. Like, we've had a night where we've had 3 headers from inside the 6-yard area and failed to hit the target with any of them, you know. I think this kind of stuff, we have to have everybody out, you know, sort of honing those instincts and trying to make it better. I think Kieran Kilduff also, you know, sort of tried to ask, you know, the fans for some perspective, which is justified too, right? That I think a year ago, it wasn't super clear that there was going to be a Dundalk FC. The team that he put together over the winter period, right? There was no guarantee that they were going to be good enough to win this division. It was a team with a lot of constraints, right, imposed upon it. And yet here we are, you know, 4 points ahead with 2 games to go. And I think if you had asked any of us, right, at the start of the season, would you take that? Would you take, like, having to win a home game against Finn Harps to clinch the title? Like, every single Dundalk fan anywhere would have said, absolutely, yes, I will take that. And I think that is still true. So, you know, I think some perspective is required, right, first of all, from the fans. I agree with Rory, right? Everybody should get down to Oriel next Friday night to roar the team on, right, as much as possible, because that can make a difference, right? And as you say, undefeated at home, our home form is excellent, right? That can be a real factor. And I think if you couple that with, I think, a little bit of perspective from the players as well, to say, you know, this is still in our hands. You know, if you told the players you have to beat Finn Harps to win a title, would they take that on? I would say yes. They would fancy their chances of that result too. So I think we all have to, you know, sort of calm ourselves down a bit, you know, but also, as you say, focus, right? We can do this. The odds are in our favour. You know, we just need to get the job done on Friday night.
Also, it might be worth mentioning, I mean, Cove are not Real Madrid. You know, we have beaten them across the board this season. And there's been moments in the season where they were gaining on us and we just didn't happen to meet and we always knock them back. So even rather than sowing the seeds that if we don't do it on Friday, it's the end of the world and we will go down to Cove and face some monumental footballing force that we won't be able to handle. I think I'd try and extricate that from the players' thinking, and I would say, look, you're going to win it this Friday because we're going to win at home, and then we're going to go down to Cove and we're going to win there. And we're going to finish the season strong. That's got to be the mentality. And as you say, Martin, I mean, whatever way you schedule training or whatever, certainly, I think set piece training and heading practice is definitely evidently needed after last week because it was just so frustrating as a fan to watch those gilt-edged chances just slip away. It seems that our home form is stronger, judging by, the stats. So we'll be hoping that we can kind of just do it on Friday from the fans' point of view. But it's important to remember we've got nothing to fear from a trip to Cove. Yes, if we have to go down there and they have momentum and we seem to be slipping, fair enough. But we've passed that test three times this season. It's still very much in our own hands. I think for most fans, just nerves' sake, they'd rather see it done on Friday. We could have wrapped it up on many occasions over the last month. Let's just hope that we can get the focus we've been lacking and wrap it up on Friday. We might turn to social media to see what the fans made. And it should be remembered that the point that we got, unlike in Longford, that it might be disappointing that we didn't win, but the point that we got at this stage of the season is it still keeps that two game cushion with only two games to go. So it's kind of a priceless point. Anyway, let's just turn to what the fans made in last night's performance. And Michael Stein said, disappointing performance in CMV Longford. What should have been routine wins. Now we are under real pressure. A win tonight, and it was almost a coronation. Finn Harps, regardless of Cove's results, now is a must win. Can still be done, but almost takes the gloss off it. Huge credit to the fans tonight. So somewhat downcast from Michael there. Fintan Kiernan said, two poor performances against the two bottom teams. Players need to show up next week at home. Really don't need to be going to Cove looking for a result. Still in our hands. Keller and the team have a huge week in front of them. Rory Gilsonen said, we were not poor tonight by any means. First half was excellent, but needed a second. Playing in the monsoon for most of the second half. Still made but missed great chances. Some need to give their heads a wobble. We'll beat Harps and had to in any case to be absolutely certain. Robbie Morton says dreadful conditions were a massive factor tonight. I think we will show up and win next week. Davy C said we need to fill Oriel to the gills next week. Time to get a big promo going. Mark Carlin said, yes, and we'll get to enjoy it in Oriel, answering, will we win it next weekend? And Sean Hip Hop says, we'll do it next week. But all I know is if we are going up, someone better have deep pockets or we'll just be cannon fodder next season. So, range of opinions. A lot of people, I think they're putting hope and expectation together there. There seems to be a general feeling that we will win it next week, even if we don't, we have a very good chance of winning it the week after. Guys, about that comment about deep pockets, rumours are circulating that, there are potential investors, although these are always very ephemeral. We hear this sort of stuff at this time of year. As regards survival, we see the Cork, despite getting to a cup final, which is a bit of a surprise. I thought Pats would be in pole position to win that semi-final, but Cork, somebody likened their performance to being a little bit like Dundalk's in 2002. They could get relegated and perhaps win an FAI Cup. The lesson of Cork, I suppose, this season is there is a substantial gap between the levels of, winning the first division convincingly and survival in the Premier. What do you think needs to happen off the field of play and behind the scenes if we're to have a good chance of survival next season?
We need lots of money. Interesting thing about the Cork is the Cork result was a delayed kickoff because of a protest by the fans. The Cork fans are extremely unhappy with how things are being managed down there. And yeah, I would say that we're currently due for the exact same situation if we were to go up, which is no shade on this team, but I think everyone knows it, that if the team in its current incarnation goes up without major changes, I think the phrase used by someone on Twitter there was cannon fodder. And Cork is a great kind of foreshadowing of all that. I mean, we've seen what happened. The cup run aside, they blasted up way more impressively than we have. I mean, they didn't stutter over the line like we have, and they've gone straight back down. Yeah, I think investment is absolutely necessary. So more money. I think the team needs to be strengthened. We've discussed this, I think it was last week's podcast, about what we would and wouldn't do, what we would keep. And I think that there's definitely a bunch of players we would keep, but that team needs strengthening, and that requires investment. See all these rumours and things like that. It's like, you know, when there's always rumour about a player joining, I always say, when I see them sitting in the stand looking depressed with a scarf above their head, is when I believe it. I believe any rumour when it actually happens, especially in the last few years. But yeah, investment, I think, is necessary. Without it, and, you know, we keep dragging back up the same things, but there's this kind of somewhat fraught relationship between the various fan supporters groups and the owners, who, you know, so it's going to take more than that. It's going to take, I think, outside investors for the ownership of the club to make these changes, because it's clearly not coming internally. So yeah, you just got to hope for some kind of angel to come along.
One kind of point to the Cork story is that they did what I guess many Dundalk fans are calling for, right? They shed most of the team that won them the first division. They brought in a whole load of new players at greater expense, and then still went absolutely straight back down, right? I think there might be something to be said for actually sticking with, you know, some of the group and some of the characters that we knew in the first division. That at least if you're going to be cannon fodder and go straight back down, you're going to do it on a slightly smaller budget than what Cork have probably spent. But, you know, I am inclined to agree that just generally, like, investment is needed in the club. Like, we heard during the week there was a long, wind-raging interview with John Temple, right, about the state of the club. And I think that shed light on the fact that, you know, we can afford to upgrade some of the floodlights, but there's no money to do the pitch, even though everybody acknowledges that the pitch is in a pretty bad state, you know. And that's even, you know, you've got to raise 500,000 euros that you will get back, right? You know, somebody is going to return that money to you, and we still can't, you know, find those sort of funds. I think we have a situation as well where the apprenticeship program, right, cancelled at extremely short notice due to lack of funds at the FAI, which was going to be 95% funded by the Education and Training Board, right? Only 5% of funds were actually required. And it seems like we weren't able to save that. And I feel like that's pretty disappointing, again, in a week where the DFC Trust has emailed us to tell us they have a 100,000 euro sort of cash pot waiting to be used. And we have something that requires 5% funding, and we still can't, you know, get it over the line. Now, I know that isn't a Dundalk FC, you know, fault. That's the FAI generally. But, like, I think that paints a picture, right, about how paltry, right, the funds are to actually run the club at the moment. So, I mean, my personal view is that the club doesn't need more revolution, right? We've had that, you know, what, 3-4 times over the past, you know, sort of 5 years, and every single time it has caused drama. I think what we need is a more steady evolution of the running of the club, right? I think the current people who are in charge have done, I think, a very good job, right, in the circumstances. There are people that we know personally, right, that have suffered a great deal, right, as a result. So, like, I don't think universal praise is warranted, but you got to give them credit for what they've done. And I think what we need is a sort of steady hand on the tiller to try and see us through, you know, the next year or two, while hopefully growing the club's capability of, you know, earning more in prize money itself, and also, you know, sort of standing a little bit more on its own 2 feet.
Yeah, that was an interesting communique from the Supporters Trust, because, you know, these groups in their various different incarnations are often launched with great fanfare. You get a big turnout for the initial meeting, and then sort of interest and participation and volunteerism can begin to wane. And you find that the momentum goes out of them, and, you know, particularly when they haven't exactly been welcomed into the fold by the club, sometimes they can drift a bit, and then just you're a year or two down the line and suddenly no meetings have been held, no activity has been conducted, and the organisation is effectively dead. It was an interesting communique in that, because of the subscription-based model, the Trust has, even without being perhaps visibly doing events, which obviously would be great if they could, but they have been building up a certain form of power, and that's their bank balance. And the fact that I think what they have over 80,000 and they're intending or they're expecting to have 100 by the end of the year, that gives you power. It makes you relevant rather than going up and meekly asking for a role. Here's something that could be that if you can bring funds to bear on those problems that you talked about, that maybe you bail out that apprenticeship scheme. Not that you should have to. Maybe you're the one who can come in and get the renovation of the floodlights over the line. Maybe you're the one that can do a fundraiser to contribute to the new pitch. I mean, these were the sort of ambitions that we heard when these organizations were established. But again, we've said it last week, it is a little bit disappointing to find that there does not seem to be a anything other than coldness between the official club structures and those groups. And whatever relationship they have and wherever power and authority lies, I know people don't want to give up power and authority when they have it. I think unless we can align people's desire to participate in a supporters group and contribute to the club in that way outside of match days, unless we can align that with the actual ambitions of the club, we won't be as good as we can be. And it just seems to be that we're going to need a lot of alignment, a lot of focus if we're to have a viable chance of survival in the Premier Division next season. So whether those conversations will take place at some point and some sort of a more substantial working relationship can be formed between the Supporters Trust and the club remains to be seen. But I think every fan would really like to see that happen. So I suppose on that plea for unity, it's all eyes on Friday night when Finn Harps come to town. And, we just, as you said, we just don't even have to win. As long as we match Cove's result, we will be champions. And that's a great prospect. So hopefully there'll be a big crowd. Hopefully our home form will continue. And hopefully we'll be promoted by this time next week. Anyway, that's it for now. I'd like to thank Martin Mullen and Rory Murphy for joining me for this chat and everybody who contributed their comments on Twitter. And we'll be back to talk to you, hopefully, as champions after the Finn Harps game. Oh, look, what a goal.